to faith you know best. Nothing can catch you by surprise. You've got this figured out and you're watching us now. And when it looks as if we can win,
you need Ephesians. So Ephesians chapter 3, let me share some word with you.
Come on, Jay.
So let's get effective through Ephesians. If, listen to me now, we want to get into the word for a few minutes. If you, to be effective means to make a difference by just who you are. To be ineffective is to try to be someone else, right? Please listen to me this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, and then we'll read Exodus, and I'll just do 10 minutes, talk to you this morning. What I feel the Lord wants me to share with you this morning is that you can create something out of nothing. I want you to listen to me this morning. The result that we see in this house is because of the Word. The Word is everything, and that's why this Thursday at Hilton Tower Bridge is so crucial. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations. Even though the stadium we're purchasing now is gonna have the Life Center in it, but it's called the Nations. And so that's why we've got to have our first nation night. I don't know why Pastor NDD was struggling. Nation, national, nationality. I'm a Nigerian, I'm a neighbor, whatever. It's just nation night. It's the simplest thing to master. NN or N2. N square. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations, the things inside us. I want you to listen to me this morning because, you know, when... Okay, let me leave it. I'll leave that till Thursday. I just discovered it Sunday, so... Can we read that ask of me first? Because what the Bible does to us, please listen to me, is expand our mind. You see, motivational talk can expand our mind, but it cannot give us the spiritual power that is necessary in order to push through until success. It tells us what is possible. But the word is spiritual. The word of God, the Bible, the compendium of God's thought, the corpus of revelation, the holy scriptures, put together by the predetermined purpose of God, this word, does not just tell us possibilities beyond our own capabilities. It gives us the spiritual strength to be able to weather through the storms. There are people that are still living, but the storm had carried them away already. The Bible, the compendium, is very simple. In case compendium sounds like a big word, compendium is just the collection of the thought of God. The collection of God's thought about what my marriage should be like when I get married, or if I'm getting married, about what my teenage life should be like, about what my career life should be like, how to raise children, how to walk in love. The thought of the Creator is in this collection. And that's why the devil will fight this and want to disapprove it. And he knows that if I can open up my life to this, can submit my life to this, then nothing is impossible for me. Let me show you that after God had made man, he called them to be creators. He made man in his own image. And he created you and I after his likeness. And what the society tries to do, what the community tries to do, is to remold us according to the community. And so you can walk every day of your life. I wish you listened to me this morning. I should stop distracting us, because if you bring people forward, you're distracting us. No, we've run out of space, but I see some chairs there. And if we would open up our lives to this, the devil knows and God knows that nothing is able to stop us. But the devil cannot proceed and possess our life if he doesn't discredit the word of God. He has to use secularism to discredit what God says. He has to use ambition. But you see, you can never get more ambitious than what the word says. Because he asks us to do things that we can't even do in our own power. Ask of me the nations. Let's start from there today. Yes, ma'am. Ask of me. Guys, please, can this microphone work? Please. Read it again. I'm sure it will work now. No?
Ask of me.
That's right. Go on.
And I will give you the nations for your inheritance.
This is God speaking. If you ask of me, I'll give you. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance. Now, as your mind stretched, as your mind become big enough to know that it is possible for you to ask for whatever you will, or as life dealt with you to a place where you don't feel like you deserve anything important. And what God has called Spark Nation as is to people who are daring enough, who have asked for God, because we're not going to get anything without Him as the foundation. So Pastor Obi explained that to us on Thursday. If you ask of me, the Creator, I'll give you the nations, because the nations are still His. But this is how to get it this morning. This is how to live. I've seen people born into royalty. And for them, whatever they've got, they have the sense of entitlement. They believe it is theirs. You know, the day you got born again, you were born into the royalty of Christ, the maker of the heavens and earth. So I wonder why we still operate with little minds. I think Pastor Dami, myself, and few of us was with a guy. How old was the guy? He was just 20 years old. Listen to me, friends. And he's from royalty. He's from the Qatar royalty. And his sense of ownership, you'll see he's not struggling, right? For what he thinks, he believes that the whole world is his. And so when we got to a certain restaurant and they said there's no more seats, he's just strolling there to tell them, no, it's me. You got to provide the seat. It's not like, whilst we're going to speak, you know, you are trying to speak English and do that. His English is not even clear. It's just like, yeah, but it's me though. Until I said, no, I'd rather go back to the office. Now, you see, that's reality, right? When you get back home, or you don't even need to get home now because of your phone, if you switch on your Twitter, you see another person of color. You know what you are doing there? You're doing shaku there. So we are like the born village clowns. When others are possessing the nations, you're trying to be comedians. But what God does in this house is to remold our mind for the nations. So when we sat down to explain how we want to build the 4-acre land, we're building a place for royalty. You've got to understand this. God said, ask of me the nations. But you see, before that happens, it's got to be a collective set of people who think beyond. You know, I want to quickly show you something and I'll stop. Ephesians 3 now. Please, just stay with me. Give me 20 minutes of your time today. Let me show you something. Let me show you why Spark Nation is like this. And in case you're here for the first time, you say, I've never seen church like this. Believe me, you've never seen church before. You've heard of church. But let us take you to the new church order. What God is saying in a new generation, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, those who are called forth to show God's excellence. Ephesians 3, then we'll read Exodus and locate those five callings, and then I'll stop. Ephesians 3, yes, ma'am.
For this reason, I pull.
No. You know where I'm going. It gave some.
Ephesians 4.
Thank you. Sorry.
But to each one of us, grace has been given.
Are you able to read after the Bible reader this morning? You're not answering me. So let's read after her. Let's follow you now. Yeah.
So Christ himself.
You just promised me that you will do so. So let's start again.
So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets.
No. You skip the "for to each one of us," please.
But to each one of us, grace has been given.
Wait there. But to each one of us, if your name ever falls under each or one or of us, Scripture shows us this morning, it said grace, meaning unmerited favor. Read it in Amplified Version, whoever sees it first. I need to take you slowly into this so that you can get something out of this. Amplified says what?
Yet.
Go for it, Pastor Tammy, quickly. Amplified. Get ready for the message.
Mm-hmm. Yet grace, God's undeserved favor.
Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yet.
If a person is royalty, born into the Queen's family or Carter family, please, I ask you the question, what did they do to be born into that family? So it's just a call, right? But to each one of us, grace has been given. What did he call grace again? The Amplified says what?
Yet grace, God's undeserved favor.
God's undeserved favor. So someone is asking for more grace. God says, what have you done with the one I gave you? Something that is given to you, your gift, that is given without you working for it. So the reason why you are burnt out with work is that you've never really accepted what was given to you without work. So you're not able to use work right. I want you to listen to some wisdom this morning. Because you abandon the one that is given to you without work, and something told you just go working for what you want. But to each one of us, grace was given. Yes, Amplified still.
God's undeserved favor.
It is from God. It's undeserved. I don't know if you've accepted it, but it's undeserved.
Was given to each one of us.
It was given to each one of us.
Not indiscriminately.
Oh my God.
But in different ways. In proportion.
Wait. It is not given indiscriminately, meaning it just didn't spread grace on everybody. But then he gave it differently. You see, the grace given to you is your call. What we call gift, God calls grace. Did you hear what I just said? You want to say something to that? What we call gift, this is my gifting. You see, have you noticed that when something is your gifting, you don't stress to use it? The ladies who make hair and you're really gifted, not like destroy people's hair now. The real hair makers, you are actually happy to do it. It is your area of grace
Guess what? It's a gifting, but it was what God gave you. Now, what did Joseph do to be a dreamer? Guess what Joseph had to do to be a dreamer? He just needed to sleep. Oh my God. I said, Joseph's grace, Joseph's gifting, oh my God, is activated when? What we get Joseph from a guy hated by his brothers to the guy who leads the economy of the most powerful nation is what? Sleeping. Ah. Joseph will get a whole nation. But to each one of us, so there is something, you ask me, why is the world not recognizing me? Why am I not so in the world? He said, because you're not recognizing your grace. You neglected your grace for your walk. So your walk is experiencing no grace, so there is no glory. Read Amplified again, then we'll listen to TPT.
Yet
quickly.
Grace, God's undeserved favor, was given to each one of us, not indiscriminately.
So say with me, I have a grace.
I have a grace.
That means I have a gifting. The sister didn't say why. Say it again. Maybe she will say it this time.
Yet grace, God's undeserved favor, was given to each one of us.
Say, I have grace.
I have grace.
Okay, read on, Pastor.
Not indiscriminately,
but in
different ways,
and according to what proportion?
In proportion to the measure of Christ's rich and abundant gift.
There is an overflow, but I want to show you this morning. So you see nations with mineral resources. Under the ground is oil, iron, iron, stones, jewelries, but then the nations are still poor. You know, that's due to two things. Either they didn't discover it or they mismanage it. So we've got to discover which one is happening in your life. Either you bury it, because God buries it for us, then a wise person will search it out. So if there's poverty in my life, it's because there's something still hidden that I refused to discover, because every nation, and I've studied oil, I've studied gold, every nation that wants to extract these things and make money from it have to invest in machineries to drill them out. How I wish this was Thursday. So I'm not investing because I want God to give me returns. I'm investing because I have to buy my machineries to dig the ground and extract mineral resources. That's why we are given. That's why I'm in church. I read from scriptures, and I won't tell you where. God gave a simple commandment. He said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it pure. Meaning, don't do anything on the day you chose as your Sabbath. One of the secrets to the Jewish wealth, right? The church today does exactly opposite. They go to church and run back home and do everything. Everything. You're probably looking at your time and say, Sunday, you see, that's why God won't bless you. But that's a digression. Read on quickly. I want to stop. Quick.
When he ascended on high.
When he ascended on high.
He led captivity captive.
Okay, leave it there. What does message say?
TPT.
TPT, yeah.
And he has generously given each one of us supernatural grace.
Did you hear that? The gift you have in you that is supposed to make you influential. I didn't say popular, influence. It was given to you supernaturally. It wasn't based on your education in school. It was given to you. It's an impartation. by God without you paying for it, but it was given generously. Read on, sister, quickly.
Please. According to the size of the gift of Christ.
So jump to what he gave each man now because of time. He gave some.
So and when Christ he has ascended himself, on high. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors.
Why do we not have this scripture on screen, please? Okay, that's fine. Go on.
So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers.
Why did he give all these gifts? Can we read the gift he gave together? This will get very spiritual for you, but I will simplify it in a moment. So Christ himself gave what? Let's read it together now. One, two, go.
So Christ himself gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher.
How many gifts? So let's read those gifts again. One, two, go. Read it again, sister.
So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers.
One more time. I want everybody to repeat this. One, two, let's go one more time. One, two, go.
So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers.
So your question would then be, these are the five gifts that he gave. And someone then looked at me and said, but I'm none of these. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a prophet. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a teacher. So where's my place? But before I show you what this means in your day and time, let's read why he gave them this gift. Go on, man.
To equip his people for works of service.
Huh? If the ushers were alive this morning, listen, read it again.
To equip his people for works of service.
So do you see why he gave them? You see why we ordain a lot in this church? He didn't give them this gift so that they can become church members. Huh? He gave them so that what again?
To equip his people for works of service.
To equip people for work of service so that they can serve. Okay, read on. That's number one reason. Two.
So that the body of Christ may be built up.
Uh-huh.
Until we...
So that what? The body of Christ may be built. We're going to the sanctuary that is being built now, you know. Read on, sister.
So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith.
Okay.
And in the knowledge of the Son of God.
Right.
And become mature.
Okay.
Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Thank you. So let's go to Exodus now. You remember the five things I asked you to repeat? Can we do it one more time? So Christ himself gave some to be
apostle.
Prophet, yeah. One more time. Talk to me. One more time. You're not saying this thing. Thank you. Yeah. Hey, this is where it gets interesting. So now, in Exodus, God asked a people that were once in slavery. They were in slavery for 400 years. 430. They've now moved out of the most powerful country in the world at the time. So the fact that they were in slavery means their heart and mind has been subjected over time. People have told them you cannot make it. You've got issues. Imagine a person in slavery has been abused. All manner of abuse. You don't even have an identity. You don't even know who you are. Economic slavery. And if a person has been in slavery with what they grew up seeing in their family, they feel like they are whatever society defines them as. So now, 3 million people will move in one day out of slavery. They're going to have a new nation. They're going to be a different people. So guess what? They don't know who they are. They don't know what's going on. So they don't have laws. They have no rules. They don't have an economic system. They don't have a way of spending or making money. They are just a new people. Almost out of nowhere. I want you to please listen to me this afternoon. Because what slavery does to you, and I'm not just talking about the slavery, how England colonized the world and all that. I'm talking about the one that is even bigger now, the mind now, has been in bondage, subjected to the will of another person. I was in Pentonville on, was it Monday or Tuesday, to visit the East Side Fellowship there. And guess what? So when the chaplain of Pentonville, so she said, follow me, and she opened up the other side. And I'm telling you young guys now, don't go to prison. Thank you. Don't go there. Because when you come back, you cannot be human anymore. Look, so we can begin to say that, you know, nobody in the society takes ex-offenders, da-da-da-da-da. You're dangerous to take. Reality check now. I discovered something standing out, and I saw now it is going to be their free time. What do you call the flow time or whatever they call it? Kelvin, what do you call it? Free flow. So imagine I stood by the gate, and now they're going to open them one by one. They're going to be checking their names. I'm talking about oppression. Huh? Oh, sorry, no names, numbers. Number 00123. Number 053445. Now, remember, this was some tough guy outside who, even when he is in church, is like this. And I'm thinking, guy, you've become a chicken now. There's a woman by the free flow. When that woman talks, they've got to shift. So now, I was looking everywhere so I could see out. And all of a sudden, there's this pandemonium. Alarm is blowing. Doors are banging. Bah! Boo! There's a siren blowing. Wah, 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 wah. And, you know, what I noticed there was, listen to this, what I noticed was every prison system, including those who are in prison, even though they are free outside, is to change your mind. You see, if you spend 2 days in that Pentonville, when you come out, anytime you hear iron clanging together, no matter how tough you pretend to be, your mind shifts. What you can dream about is so limited. But I speak more this morning about the prisons of life when a person has been depressed for so long, oppressed from their childhood. It is bondage. The vision of prosperity is limited to you. You don't understand the concept of freedom. And if you try to use it, you'll overuse it. Because you will have freedom out of revolt, not out of discipline. So the children of Israel are now out, and the number one thing God needed to do is to teach them how to build a sanctuary. So now that brings me to this story now. These guys that were going to become the greatest designers, remember, they were also once in that prison. You're not hearing me. Are you ready with that scripture now? Read, sister, please.
And he has given both him and Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work.
So look at this now. These were guys coming also out of prison, but God wanted to build a sanctuary. On Nation Night, I'll tell you that God said the first thing the children of Israel must do is to build him a sanctuary, a place of meeting with him. Moses was not the pastor of that sanctuary. Moses pastored the nation from that sanctuary. Moses was the pastor of Israel, but he was the coordinator of the sanctuary. So the God's presence must dwell among them first before they proceed as a nation. They will have to first build a sanctuary for God before they build their own settlement. You're not hearing me. They were still moving from tent to tent, renting. They didn't hear me. So you know why I told the leaders this on Thursday. They were renting. Sometimes they have to move now. The reason why they should not buy is not because God is not mortgage savvy. It's because God is saying that you will settle too soon. Whereas you are Jews, sojourners, you are still traveling. So he said, build me a sanctuary. But this sanctuary will carry my presence, but you don't settle down. Because the nation that I want to give you is bigger than what you can have. What people do in life because of fear and bondage is we quickly try to settle down. So we cut short the journey of God over our lives. Why? Because we are afraid. What if I don't have this flow tomorrow? And God says, your destination is not wilderness. Your destination is Canaan. Spark Nation, we have not reached Canaan yet. It's not possession time yet. It's a time to first build the sanctuary. Because if there is no sanctuary, you will not know those who are gifted. Then you cannot nation build. So now, the first place we will see the five gifts is here. Now read now.
He has filled them.
He has filled them
with skill.
Skills
to do all kinds of work.
And he filled them as what? Let's read now.
As engravers.
Number one, engravers.
Designers.
Two.
Embroiderers.
Embroiderers.
Weavers.
Weavers.
Skilled workers.
Skilled workers. You see, we counted fivefold ministry here. In Ephesians 3, we counted it as what again? Let's repeat that, Ephesians 3.
Apostles.
Prophets.
Evangelists. Pastors. Teachers.
One more time, please. One more time, I beg of you. Apostles, prophets, pastors. Okay. So go back to Exodus. So we found five here. There is five. But you see, the problem the church has is it's always prophets. So someone say, if I'm not prophesying. No, these were the gifts. The apostle is an engraver. No. Paul taught us that. He was talking about grafting in and stuff like that. He was talking about Christ written on the tablets of our heart. So Paul traveled from Thessalonica to all places to engrave Christ. Have you ever seen something engraved before? The wristwatch I'm wearing,
what's this watch called?
It's an Audemars Piguet. But forget about that. But you see, something is engraved. Anywhere you take this to, the name of this royal hawk is engraved, written. Paul was the conscience of the nation at his time. And he will engrave Christ on people's heart. How did Paul engrave Christ there? Can I tell you how? You see, Paul, right? He was a tent maker. If this was Thursday, you know where I would go with this. From his office as a tent maker, when people come to purchase tent, no, I know this is too much for Sunday, but listen, what Paul was doing as an engraver in his workshop was weaving. Keep sleeping. Pastor Dami, I now need you to go to dictionary, Cambridge, and look for the interpretation of weaving. A prophet is a weaver. Everything you do in life is a gift by God, and it falls under this. He calls some to be designers. When you are not designing, a designer is a pastor. When you're not designing, someone else will design your life for you. So all this fivefold ministry, this is how they manifest in the new church. So if God calls you to the media mountain, finance is under this. Don't you say no more, I'm not a prophet, or I'm not this, I'm not that. No, you are one of this fivefold ministry. He gave you a gift on the inside of you, and society needs to take that gift from you and give you a job instead. The reason why your early marriage cost you your life. Your early marriage cost you your life because of culture. So you were caged to perform lower. So what is the standard in Spark Nation for any of our sisters getting married? I need to know you've discovered you first. So don't hide under the identity of any man in the name of I've got to marry. No, you don't have to. If you will lose your life in the middle of that, and lose your apostolic ministry. So I've come to engrave in the heart of a new generation that there is a totally different way of serving God and manifesting your gift than what we were taught in church when we were growing up. Now, anyone who will step on the pulpit to preach must show us the result of their everyday life. Otherwise, you have nothing to say. What's the meaning of weaving?
To form something.
Huh?
To form something.
To form. To form something.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
From several different things.
Malia Supradosa. Read it again, Pastor.
To form something.
To form something.
From several different things.
From several. I don't know if there's any lady with weaving on this morning. What the prophet does, it takes many aspects of your life. When we start preaching, and we start weaving together. We start sewing together. Your good, your bad, and the ugly, the abuse you went through as a child, a prophet will weave it. It will tie it together. So God says, whatever bad you've gone through, it doesn't matter. When you enter the house of a prophet, a weaving. So Paul was engraving, and in his tent, it would take product from acacia wood, some from mahogany, and it will start weaving. It will start putting object. Guess what God is doing in your life right now, Spark Nation? For those who are allowing him to, everything you've gone through your life till you were 20, 25, 30, 35, the prophet begins to weave. It can weave into my bald head. Here, some of you call it wigs, but it makes you look better. But before, listen, but before that is formed, it would have to need a glue. Something that makes that hair stay. So I realized that certain problems did not go away from my life. God used them as the glue. You didn't understand what Paul was saying. When Paul said, there is a thorn on my flesh. Paul said, but I've asked God to remove it more than 3 times or so. But God said, I weaved your life and glued it with that thorn. Certain things that made me seek God more. My weaving. Why? So that when you begin to manifest your gift, when you begin to manifest the grace of God over your life, it will be obvious that it's not you. It is not by your power or your might. You want to read something? Read it, please.
It goes further. It says, to form something.
To
from,
what?
It, to form something from several things in a complicated or skilled way.
Did you see the work of the skilled designers? Something that is complicated. The complications of my life. No. Don't go around submitting to your complications. Give it to the weaver. It will sew your bad and your good together. And by the time you take that brown hair and that this, and you weave it. Or say, sister, your hair looks so beautiful. But guess what the weaver did? He took all manner of materials. Oh my God. Please read that definition again.
To form something.
To form something.
From several different things. In a complicated or skilled way.
Is your life complicated? Are there complications in your life? Do you find that sometimes you want to do good but bad is there? Do you find that sometimes you want to pursue God, but something holds you back and you look at your life and ask yourself, Obi, why am I this complicated? You're complicated because it wants to weave. Complications have to be weaved. So when they were designing the temple, and that's why when you come into Spark Nation, you find all manner of character. If you're a house fellowship leader, your job is not to open your mouth and say, you know how people are. You are to weave. You don't look at all the hair and say, why is this brown and black? I thought everything would be brown and black. God says, what if my design is brown, black, and blue? Your job is to take everything and start to form something. Go and take your complicated life. You've opened it up to the prophetic ministry now. And let God begin to weave it. This is how far I can go because it's Sunday. If we're getting deep into this word, it has to be Thursday. Sunday is for every believer. Midweek service is for those who have a focus and know that without God, they are not getting anywhere. It's the truth. What is God weaving in your life this morning? And he has to use the giftings of man. That's why we talk a lot about mentorship in this house. We talk about a lot about my leader. Why? Because it gave fivefold ministry. In other words, when you go outside and whatever area you find yourself, you are a weaver. God is using you to build something there. Nobody has a small gift. Every gift is important. What makes your gift big is the importance of it, not the sense of significance that people attach to it. And so God calls us as Spark Nation, and we're clear about our call to live right for God and to be very wealthy. Very clear. And so it takes people from all different backgrounds and weave and begin to gel people together for his own ultimate purpose. So I realized that this fivefold ministry is the new church. This is the apostolic ministry. If you cannot engrave on people's heart, then all you're doing is just preaching legalism. You tell people, don't do this, don't do that. But that Paul said that's not the gospel. It's Christ's gift. And so I have got a question, and this is what I submit to Spark Nation today. Are we really allowing God to express this gift through us? When I see the evangelists, I realize that the evangelists here are embroiderers. They work in the embroideries. They take cloth and bring it to the engravers. They sew embroideries. Have you located your own call within this call? Or are you in church on a Sunday to just play church because it's okay to go to church? And if you're like that, Spark Nation is definitely, obviously not for you. It's not going to work. But if you've come to a place where you know that there is a sanctuary, a place of refuge that God is building, then what you will do is go back to your past and let God weave it with your present and your future. There's no point mourning about the past. The past you've been through is necessary for who God wants you to become. You cannot become what God wants you to become without that past. But it is Christ himself that gave that gift. When I make the call this morning, I'm not just making calls for those who want to give their life to Christ for the first time. I'm also making calls for those who know they are lacking behind in the service of ministry. Because Satan limits you to your experience. You are not your experience. You are not what you've been through. What you've been through is to just prepare you for who you're supposed to be. So he wove Joseph to become a chief economist. I told you on Periscope and on Thursday that the dream Joseph was having is not so that he can deliver messages to other people about what God is saying. It is to make him an economist. You see, that's what the church does. Our prophecy is just to prophesy to someone in church and sound spooky. Not Joseph. What is God making you into? I'm asking you to arise with boldness, but on the foundation of Christ. I'm asking you not to dream small dreams. I'm asking you as a church, as a people, as friends, sons or daughters, to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold onto your own calling. Knowing that the way to success, and by the way, success is not how much money you've got. And say, oh, thank God, success is not about money. No, success is not about how much money you've got. It's about how much money you can send on an errand. Just in case you quickly thought, oh, yeah, so it's not money. It is. Part of it. It's about how much influence. And what it takes you to achieve that is on the inside of you, but not without Christ. And the society will batter us constantly. Limit us to mindsets that is strange and contrary to the word of God. But what happens when a man decides to give his life to Christ? I'm sorry if the world has defined that wrongly, but I'll tell you this morning, what happens is your eyes becomes open to all the giftings in you. And in that gift, you will see all the precious gems that is on the inside of you. What happens when a person is a giver? A giver just simply understands that my giving improves the life of others so that my life will not stay the same as well. It's as simple as that. So if you're here this afternoon and you've not given your life to Jesus, or these things sound very religious to you, I tell you, Spark Nation has come not to preach any religion, but the reality of our call into Christ. Why do we not live in sin? Because it distorts destiny. So I'm going to make a call in about 2 minutes this afternoon. I can't preach for longer than this anymore, on a Sunday especially. If you don't get anything this morning, get this clear. There's a measure of gifting on the inside of you. And if you're away from it, it's because you are afraid. And I constantly look at people and ask the question, how long will you live in fear? Afraid of everything. Afraid to take risk. Afraid to everything. And you may not fully understand this morning. When you walk to the altar, what you're doing is walking away from your past and walking into the future that God has always wanted for you. Your mindset begins to change. Your mannerism begins to change. Why? You've now accepted the measure of grace that God has given you. And when you come to the altar, what you're saying again is, I'm not just into coming to church. I'm coming into service. Because this is why it gave gift unto men. The new church. The new people that would change the world. Is you and I. God has entrusted that to your hands. It's a calling. It's a sure calling. Which we cannot attain without going through the past that we've gone through. I feel that about 20 people would need to really walk away from their past. And what shows that you're walking away from your past is how much you embrace the future. I told someone this week, I don't fear anything. Nothing. You know why? We've built this sanctuary from where God speaks to us. There are 3 calls I want to make this afternoon, but the first one, is the complete surrenderedness to Christ. I know what the devil does with young lives. It destroys us when we are still very young. That's what the devil does all the time. And you know what makes the devil powerful in court? It's because we don't know he's the one operating. Darkness is what makes a person more powerful, right? So I feel there are about 20 people in this house today who needs to walk away from the past and allow the weaver to weave your life together. Childhood abuse. Things that have always been contrary to your own life and your destiny. That's right. It's the moment of someone this afternoon, and a new journey starts in life when we make a new decision. I want all movement to stop right now. If you are here this afternoon and you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to commit to God and say, Lord, you are the potter and I'm the clay. This is your moment. I want you to leave wherever you are and start walking towards me right now.